But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
And away we go, hour number two of the Rob Brown Show starts now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob, the great one, Lonzo, with you. Be a part of the program, 844-326-3663. That is the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone, 844-FANFONE. That's 844-326-3663. You can text us, 71307, 71307. Start your text with fan, F-A-N, fan, F-A-N. We will read them on the air. You can tweet me at the Rob Brown Show. You can tweet Lonzo at Lonzo on Word. You can tweet everybody up in here at the Fan Upstate. If you want to come about us in that direction, you are welcome to do so. We also want you on the Ray Memorial Hotline. Go to the Odyssey app. Go to the Fan Upstate page. When you get there, you will see the little roundish but also rectangular button that says send a voice message. Click on that. You can leave us a 30 to 60 second voice note that we can play on the air. Got one yesterday as the show was going off the air from Jay in Duncan. We're going to hear what Jay had to say coming up here a little bit later on in the radio broadcast. You can get your voice on the air as well by going to the Odyssey app, go to the Fan Upstate page, and leave a voice message on the Ray Memorial Hotline. It is 7:02 in the a.m. We are 57 minutes and 40 seconds away from you having to get into the office and, do your job. But also take a break from that job. Walk down the hallway at that job. Stand around the water cooler provided by the job and talk about sports while you ignore the job. And if you're going to do that, you're going to need this. It's the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office this lovely Thursday morning and start talking sports with your co-workers and your bosses and whoever else you ignore the rest of the day. This is the best part of the day. And that's why we set you up with the three top stories you need to know. Let us begin with item number one. We just talked about this ever so briefly, but it is still one of the biggest three sports stories in the day. Am I ever so humble yet frequently correct opinion? Bill Belichick is now officially the head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels. Tar Heels and the Hoodie agreed to a 5-year deal pending approval by the Board of Trustees, who will hold an emergency meeting tonight to determine if they wish to sign off on the deal. It is then, I assume, that we will get the financial incentives of this contract, Again, 5 years for the 72-year-old who worked in the NFL in some capacity from 1975 until 2023. The hoodie has become somewhat of a media superstar over the past year since then, as he got his own nationally syndicated podcast, as he has become a recurring character on the Manning cast of Monday Night Football games. He has become a recurring character in a weekly spot on the Pat McAfee show and other venues around the football world. Belichick said as part of a release announcing the move, quote, "I grew up around college football with my dad and treasured those times. I have always wanted to coach in college, and now I look forward to building the football program in Chapel Hill." The Tar Heels have not won an ACC football title since 1980. That was a long time ago. It was 5 years before Rob Brown existed. I was nary a glimmer in my father's eye the last time UNC won the ACC, and the Heels believe that Hoodie might be the guy to get them there. They put out a statement that said, quote, "Bill Belichick is a football legend, and hiring him to lead our program represents a new approach that will ensure Carolina football can evolve, compete, and win today and in the future. At Carolina, we believe in providing championship opportunities and the best experience possible for our student athletes, and Coach Belichick shares that commitment. We have already got some moves being made. Former NFL executive Michael Lombardi, who was also an assistant under Bill Belichick with the Patriots from 2014 to 2016, is coming on as Bill Belichick's chief of staff, I think is the official title. He is the general manager of the Tar Heels program after, of course, the Tar Heels fired Mack Brown at 73 years old. They decided to go with a younger head coach. And 72-year-old Bill Belichick. Talked a little bit about that back in the last hour. If you missed that conversation, worry not, my dear friends. Go to thefanupstate.com. Go to the podcast button in the middle of the page. Drop it down to the Rob Brown Show. Click on that bad boy, and you can listen to every hour of the show on demand in that spot. Let's go to item number two. According to NFL officials, the league will consider, not do, but consider expanding instant replay assist to include face mask penalties and other plays. NFL executive Troy Vincent said at the league's winter meetings yesterday, quote, "When we see it, because I see it like yourselves and the fans, I have an opportunity to see it from a different angle and see it from a slow motion. When you think about the position of where the officials are, things are happening so fast. Sometimes the face mask can be the same color as the gloves. There's a lot happening. Concerning? Yes, because that's a big miss. That's a big foul. That's why we would like to consider putting that for the membership committee, to consider putting that foul category that we can see, putting that penalty flag on the field to help. There is a frustration, and we believe that this is one category we can potentially get right. It has happened a number of times this year. Back on October 24th, Vikings quarterback Sam Darnold was grabbed by the face mask and brought down in the end zone to end the Minnesota Vikings comeback attempt against the LA Rams. On October 3rd, officials missed the face mask on Tampa Bay Buccaneers running back Bucky Irving when he ran 7 yards late in the fourth quarter. Tampa Bay instead was called for holding on the play, got forced out of field goal range, and Kirk Cousins rallied the Atlanta Falcons to an overtime victory, a victory that they did not get. The NFC South would be all but determined at this point. Vincent pointed out those mistakes and others, including Monday night. Joe Burrow got his whole damn helmet spun around sideways on his noggin, and nothing was called. It ended up being a spot where the Bengals were unable to put points on the board. That game could have been well over, well before it was. So I'm interested in seeing what they decide to do here. Vincent also cited hits on a defensive player, tripping, fair catches, illegally batted balls, and illegal double team block, illegal formations on kickoffs, and taunting as other areas where the new warrant could be considered as a possibility. Current rules allow replay assist to help officials pick up a flag incorrectly thrown on the field or in assisting proper enforcement of a live ball foul called on the field. The NFL's competition committee will review potential recommendations for owners to vote on expanding replay assistance. There are more conversations ongoing. Vincent also said that one of the things they will look at, because they wish to eliminate from the game, are low blocks. He said low blocks below the knee pads need to be removed from the game. The league will consider changes. I think this might be one of the most interesting ones on the docket. The league will consider changes to the onside kick rule after, of course, the dramatic overhaul to the kickoff rules this year. He said, quote, "We need to look at that. That's a dead play. There, that is a ceremonial play. Very low recovery rate. When we look at the kickoff and maybe where the touchback area should be during the offseason, we need to also revisit the onside kick. Options include giving the team an opportunity to run one play to gain a certain number of yards to keep possession." And, of course, the biggest conversation of all, the expanding schedule. The NFL is discussing a potential expansion to an 18-game regular season. They would need approval from the players' union in order to make that change. But Roger Goodell said, "We are doing analysis." I would say, but I just came up with that. That's pretty good. That's going to have to be a thing.
It was an expansion on what you've been doing for years.
I've always said Roger Goodell didn't did the circus song, but now we can just go Roger Goodell. I feel like it's right there for us. Anyway, he said, "We are doing analysis, I would say, but we are not finalizing any plans at this point. They'll share that analysis with the players' union, which would need to agree to any change." So there you go. The NFL winter meetings going on right now. If any of these changes are enacted, it's going to be in the offseason. It will not be at these meetings, but the fact that these meetings are happening now in the winter meetings show that the NFL is indeed at least somewhat serious about them.
The one I didn't understand was the onside kick. So are they talking about being able to do it more, or I think that's
why that is interesting to me, is because Troy Vincent said, "Yo, we're looking at it," but he did not say what they are looking at.
You're looking at it for what?
Yeah. Are you looking at it because we're going to go back to where you get an unlimited number of them? Maybe you have to announce them now, but you can do it as often as you want. And realistically, I genuinely do think, great one, that the final destination of this conversation is that onside kicks will be replaced by a 4th and 25, 4th and 20, something like that, where the offense will come on the field. Because at the end of the day, kickoffs kind of feel like plays you can miss, right? Like if you're in the kitchen grabbing a beer and the wife screams, "Hey, they're about to kick off," you're not in a hurry to get back out there. But if you're in the kitchen grabbing a beer and the wife says, "Hey, Joe Burrow's got the ball again," now I feel the incentive to grab a couple of High Lifes and kick it back to the recliner ASAP to get set up for the next play. This is a way for them to not just get Joey B out there, but to get Joey out there with a high-pressure situation. Because the thought process here is, if you don't convert the 4th and 20, 4th and 25, whatever it's going to be, the other team gets the ball wherever the play is dead at. Meaning if you throw, because you got to throw on 4th and 25, right? You go out there and throw that ball and you do not convert it, or it's an incomplete pass from the 25-yard line, that's where the other team's going to get the ball. So there's a lot of interest as to what might come out of this.
Not that I'm defending kickers, but it's another way of diminishing the kicking game, and I don't think they'll do that. I think they'll bring it back to where you can do onside kicks at any time, because right now they have killed the play. It doesn't exist at all. And by the way, the new kickoffs, I love them. I think they're more interesting than the old ones.
I actually don't disagree with that, but if you told NFL owners, managers, investors, yada, 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 here's the option for you. I can send out Blake Groupie, or I can send out Joe Burrow. Which one of those are they going to sign off on? This is a way to not just put Jalen Hurts or Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen out there. It's a way to put it out there in a high-stakes scenario that sells.
You're also putting them in a situation where you know it's a passing down and the defense can just bring everybody. So you're putting them more in danger.
I'll tell you what. I'll take that when I got Lamar back there. You're telling me I got a chance to? What right now would you rather, if you're the Chiefs, and right now I'm going to give you the option, Super Bowl's on the line, would you rather try an onside kick or would you rather send Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and the boys out there at 4th and 25? You'd rather send your offense, be honest.
If Harrison Butker is healthy, I may go with that option.
No. Onside kicks in the NFL under the current rules are recovered at like 3%. No, you wouldn't. I would take Mahomes giving me a 25-yard play first every time. Every time, and I think you would too. You can keep the field goals, keep the punts, keep the kickoffs, all that. You're replacing one aspect of it that already doesn't work.
Chiefs don't really score touchdowns anymore.
That's fair.
They just kick field goals with a bunch of different kickers.
Finally, item number three. The NBA Cup rolls on. The two quarterfinal matchups last night have our semifinal matchups now set. The Atlanta Hawks following Trae Young once again, who loves nothing more on planet Earth than getting out there and ticking off some New York Knicks fans. They go to New York and they knock off the Knicks 108-100. Trae Young ended the game with 22 points on 8 of 22 from the floor, just 2 of 8 from deep. The Hawks were 9 of 31 from range, but they put up, this is not a misprint, 104 field goal attempts. They were 43 of 104 in this game. The Knicks were 40 of 93, 11 of 42 from deep. I'm going to tell you what. You want to know what the NBA's problem is going to be? The fact that the Knicks put up 42 three-point efforts.
Have you
42?
Have you noticed the scores of a lot of these games lately? They're like 123, 130. They're way up there. So defense is down or whistles are being swallowed or something. I don't know what's going on.
I don't really think it's been that much of a change from the last couple of years. It's always been trending up because the NBA, and we're going to talk about this here with the Steve Kerr thing in just a minute from right now, the NBA is making a mistake that I think way too many other leagues are making right now. It is this belief that fans will only tune in if NBA scores are 150 to 140. That's not true. That's not true. This game last night between the Hawks and the Knicks, with the exception of the Knicks putting up 42 three-point efforts, was actually a pretty fun back-and-forth game that's developed, interestingly enough, in a little bit of a rivalry. Trae Young, I don't know if you saw this a couple of weeks ago. The Knicks came down to Atlanta to play a game. And the Knicks are kind of one of those fan bases that, you know, they got people everywhere. They brought the Knicks fans in. Trae Young won the game, grabbed a live arena mic, and said, "Hey, Knicks fans, take y'all asses home." Oh, it was great, dude. And now, last night in this game, while the ball's alive and time is ticking off after the Knicks have waved the white flag, Trae dribbles to the half-court logo, gets down on a knee while still dribbling, and pretends to shoot dice on the top of the Knicks logo. I love this rivalry. I got no part of it, and I love it. Anyway, Atlanta is on to the semifinals of the NBA Cup. They will be joined by the, yes indeed, Houston Rockets, who knock off the Golden State Warriors last night. 91-90 is your final score. 26 points from Sengun. You had 15 from Smith. You had a dozen from Jalen Green. Not a super effective night for the Rockets, but they were effective in limiting what the Dubs could do last night. Here's the stat that killed you. Golden State had 10 turnovers. Excuse me, had 13 turnovers in the final 10 minutes of the game. 13 turnovers with the game on the line. That team ain't clutch no mo. So the Hawks move on. They are the 3 seed. They will take on the Milwaukee Bucks in the NBA Cup semifinals. The Rockets, the 2 seed, move on. They will take on the Oklahoma City Thunder in the semifinals. Those two games are this Saturday night. The championship is on the 17th. And yes, we will follow that in depth because we give the people what they want here on the show. And what we want is more NBA Cup coverage. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have talked, obviously, as has everyone else with a mouth and a pulse for the past handful of years, about the changing environment of one college football head coaching position. It's a new era. in college football. Actually, it's not a new era. It's been this way for a while now, like 3 years now. So it's not new. If you ain't figured it out by now, you ain't going to figure out. If you don't know it by now, you will never, 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 never know it. Ooh, 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 ooh. There is an article out on ESPN, by the Associated Press on ESPN, but by the AP. They do not credit a specific writer, which if I was the writer who writed this, I'd be furious because it's a real good article, like real good. It is about new offensive coordinator in Tallahassee, Florida, Gus Malzahn. Now, some of you may remember Gus Malzahn because Gus Malzahn has been around for a while. He was the head coach of Auburn, actually, ironically enough. No, coincidentally enough. Don't Alanis Morissette this, Rob. Coincidentally enough, he was the head coach at Auburn when Jimbo Fisher and Florida State won their last national championship back in 2013. He was with the Auburn Tigers from that season until 2020. He took over as the head coach at UCF. He was there from 2021 to 2024. And UCF was prepared to offer Gus Malzahn $5 million per year as an extension to stay on as their head coach. But Gus Malzahn passed on that at just 59 years of age. Gus Malzahn passed on $5 million a year to move on and make $1.5 million per year through 2025. So why would he turn down $3.5 million per season? Quote from Gus Malzahn. The job description of a head college football coach has changed dramatically in the last 2 years with everything. Transfer portal to collectives, to agents, and everything that goes with that. I'm just an old school football coach. I love coaching football and head coaches. It's hard to do that a lot. So that had something to do with it. And then the opportunity and being familiar with Mike and having so much respect for this university and coach against this university in the national championship. I know what this place is capable of doing, end quote. Gus Malzahn did what I said older football coaches who will not want to, and pardon the blunt expression, get with the program. He did what I suggested that they do. Take a job as an assistant somewhere. Take a job in a place that you don't have to do all of that. Take a job in a place where all you need to do is coach. Take a job where you are a coordinator or a position coach or anything like that. Just do anything else. And Gus Malzahn said, yep, that's what I'm doing here. That's what I'm doing here. I do not want to have to deal with collectives and agents and all that. This has been my point. Now, this is part of the reason I don't think that Bill Belichick is going to have the run of success that the folks in Chapel Hill, North Carolina believe he's going to have. It is in part because of having to deal with all of that. Hoodie, when he was with the Patriots, he didn't have to deal with agents. He didn't have to deal with collectives. He didn't have to deal with guys that could play for the Patriots 1 year and then go bleep this, I'm out. He had a general manager. Now, we did hire a general manager.
I was going to say, that's why he's coming in with a GM to handle all that kind of stuff. And someone who he's worked with in the past and is very experienced at those kind of things. And college is becoming NFL light, whether people like it or not. And it's the business is run much of the same way.
He's bringing in Michael Lombardi to serve as general manager. And yes, in theory, the general manager is absolutely going to do like a general manager does in the NFL. You deal with the contracts. You deal with NIL. You deal with it. But here's the thing. With things like the transfer portal, that's still on Hoodie to deal with. He's got the roster construction under him. He's still got to be the guy that goes, all right, Our recruiting class is this big. We got these positions of need. We have these open. I'm dealing with these handful of guys transferring out. I got to go check the portal every day to see who is in that I might be able to snag, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot that comes along with it. And Gus Malzahn just said, and I respect him for doing it. He just said, yeah, I don't feel like doing all that. That's not what I signed up to be a coach for. Here's the reality. Every job evolves and adds new responsibilities and yada, yada, yada. When I started in this role, not at this station, but in this role as a sports talk host, when I started hosting a show, my job was do a good show. That was my job. My job was do a good show. And then one day it was, hey, do a good show and also tweet. And then it was, hey, do a good job, but also go be out there in community organizations and events. And then it was, do a good job, but also post social media videos. And then it was, do a good job, but also write articles. And then it was, do all those things and also help us run our advertising campaigns. And then it was all of those things and add this and then add this. And now doing a good show is still the primary feature of my job. But I got 19 other things that I got to do every given day. And so there may very well come a point at some point that I go, hey, I don't want to do all this. I just want to do a show. And I have two options, which is I can either go, I ain't doing this industry anymore, or I can search around and find some radio station somewhere that says, hey, man, we just want you to do a show. And let's keep it a buck. I'm going to get paid a lot less. Probably not going to be in as much of a market as I love to be in. But I could probably go find a station that says, we just want you to show up and do a show and nothing else. We ain't worried about anything else. We ain't worried about social media. We ain't worried about podcasting. We ain't worried about community engagement. We don't need you running our advertising campaign. We want you to show up and do a kick-ass show for 4 hours and nothing else. But it's gonna pay me a lot less money. I'm probably going to be living in some small town that I don't want to live in, respectfully to small towns. There's none of that. So that is the trade-off that gets to be. Gus Malzahn could absolutely be a head coach at UCF, and that's a pretty good job. For being a mid-tier school, they've got good booster money that comes in. They're in a great recruiting market. They're right there in the middle of Florida where they can get every talented kid that doesn't want to go to Florida State, Florida, or Miami, et cetera, et cetera. There's all of these benefits to being the head coach at UCF. It's a good school. But Gus Malzahn said, bleep that. I don't want to deal with all the stuff that comes along with being a head coach at this level anymore. I just want to coach football. I want to install an offense. I want to call an offense. I want to develop young players, and then I want to send them off and get in a new group. That's what I want to do. And he can't do that as a head coach, but he can do it as an offensive coordinator. And he can go talk to Mike Norvell, and he can go talk to the Florida State Athletic Department. And when they structure a contract, he can say, I don't deal with collectives. I don't deal with NIL. I don't deal with this. I don't deal with that. I'm going to go recruit, and then I'm going to coach. And that's it. And I respect Gus Malzahn for saying, I'm going to turn down $15 million guaranteed dollars because he was going to get $5 million a year to stay on as UCF's head coach. I'm going to turn down $5 million a year, and instead I'm going to go make $1.5 million a year being the OC in Tallahassee. Because that $3.5 million a year, what a problem to have, by the way. Oh, the only person in the building who understands that problem is Lonzo. I'm going to turn down $3.5 million per season, but I don't have to deal with NILs, and I don't have to deal with the transfer portal, you know, any more than any other OC, and I don't have to deal with agents, and I don't have to deal with this, and I don't have to deal with that. I can just come in, coach, and then go home to my wife. Sounds like a pretty good deal. Sounds like a pretty good deal, right? It costs him a lot of money to take that deal, but he is prioritized, and this is what I've been saying head coaches are going to have to do the entire time. At some point, the whining and the moaning and the complaining about how tough the new era of college football is. My guy, you got two options. You can understand that even at UCF, you can make $5 million per year and you can suck it the hell up and spend a few extra hours at the desk every week dealing with collectives and agents and working the portal and all that. Or you can go, yeah, I don't want to do all that. That sounds miserable. I ain't trying to live that life. And you can kick the bucks on to somebody else who will do those things and go get you a job as a coordinator somewhere where you don't have to worry about all that stuff. You can just go coach. It costs you $3.5 million a year, but you can do it. This is why you're going to see, like I said, a lot of older coaches starting to phase out. And this is why if I'm a college coach, I ain't hiring a 72-year-old former NFL guy to be my head coach. I'm going to find somebody who has been recently hot, who is doing it in the modern era, so that they go, yeah, that's just all the responsibilities of a head coach. Not, oh, I got all this added to my plate. They go, this is what it is that I'm going to do it because you're giving me $5 million a year. I'm going to figure it out.
Ageism.
Sure. Sure. I don't think a 72-year-old guy can keep up with the younger guys who have to travel the world.
Keeping up with, it seems like he's keeping up pretty good with the youth right now.
We'll find out.
I'm just saying.
We'll find out.
If you think about it.
No, I know what you're saying there.
If you think about it, you know, I'm just, you know.
Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Quick programming note for you, the people. Lulu Kessin not going to be stopping by today. Unfortunately, she is a bit under the weather, as the cliche goes. She DM'd me early this morning, said, hey, I'm just not up to it today. We are going to attempt to reschedule Lulu Kessin for tomorrow. If she is feeling better and
come
up
on,
to it.
Dude. I mean, let her rest.
I told her. I was like, look, if you can't make it, she wrote me. She's like, hey, I've been asleep for like 2 hours. I just don't feel great. And I said, well, go get your sleep. No worries. She's like, she profusely apologized. I'm like, don't worry about it. Get your sleep. We'll catch up whenever. And she goes, if I feel better tomorrow, I'll jump on tomorrow. I was like, yeah, if you have room for me. I was like, yeah, no worries. And if you don't worry about it. We'll get back next Thursday. The bowl game's not for a couple of weeks. Regular season basketball is just getting started up. We got time. Relax.
She travels a lot for her job.
She does. She goes with the basketball team. She travels around the country following the football team. And, of course, on top of all of those things, she busted. She busted. So no Lulu Kessin today, unfortunately. We are still scheduled to be joined by Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast. We got him coming up in 1 hour from now. Hating Ass Mario for the BetQL Network will join us at 9 o'clock. And of course, it's Thursday, and you know what that means. Fight Club! With the great Milanzo coming up at 9:20 this morning. And we had an NXT PLE last weekend. We've got, is this a PLE this weekend? Or is this just a show that they're doing on a Saturday? I actually don't know what it is exactly.
If you don't understand Sunday night's main event, or Saturday night's main event.
I know the origins and the roots. I just don't know if it's being treated as a PLE or if it's being treated as a show that they're just doing.
Well, we'll get in depth into that.
Perfect. 9:20.
Yes.
Fight Club! We've talked at length this week about the rise of Bryce Young, actual NFL quarterback. We talked about the betterment of Bryce Young.
What's that mean, actual NFL quarterback?
I mean, post-benching and pre-benching were two different Bryce Youngs.
Okay.
And I had a lot of takes about Bryce Young.
He's getting paid like an actual NFL quarterback, so I'm sure he probably feels like one.
Yeah, he ain't hurting for cash money, homie. I have had a lot of takes about Bryce Young over the last couple of years, and some of you.
All extremely positive.
All of them extremely positive. Some of you.
Which is so weird for you, because you're just not that positive of a person.
You know me,
on anybody or anything. That's why this stands out.
There's nothing I love more than hating on a dude.
If he walked into this room, I can just picture you doing the entire interview with your arm around him.
Yeah. That's my buddy. That's my little buddy.
That's
my little buddy right there.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, Rob Brown is...
We boost the chair up just like to Cole Bryson Heights, and we be good.
One of us in this room is a hater. The other one is Rob Brown.
No, I love Cole Bryson.
So, I've had a lot of takes about BY. I've said a lot of positives about BY while pointing out that, yeah, just the performance wasn't good enough. But I've also said, it's coaching. There's a lot to do with that. There's a lot that I think has gone very poorly that needs to get corrected. But I've been called everything from too much of an optimist. I've been told I have my, unlike Bryce Young, head in the clouds. A lot of takes.
Trying to steal my thunder?
I feel like if I take the short jokes away before you get to them, then maybe I can kind of, you know, temper the hate a little bit. I don't know if it's working.
Yeah, I don't hate them. I don't.
You know who else doesn't hate them? Carolina Panther legend Steve Smith. Yep. Everything that I've said, Steve Smith's on board with. And I appreciate that. Just to round the Steve Smith portion of the conversation out, here is the other minute or so that he spent on BY. All of this, by the way, from the Steve Smith 89 podcast available on YouTube. Did about a full 17 minutes on BY, but here's the last 54-ish seconds that jumped off the page at me. Thank you. I stood up and took a bow after that take. Because if Lonzo's going to keep banging the drum that I was wrong, you now got to tell Steve Smith he was wrong because he got the same take.
Yeah, I have no problem with telling Steve Smith he's wrong. I am curious, though. How tall is Steve Smith?
Steve.
No. Smith, you stood next to him. Height. You don't remember how tall he was.
I do. I mean,
you
know,
were live.
I want to give you want a number. I'm going to give you a number. 5'9". If I didn't have that number, I'd be like about here, which doesn't really do much for radio. About here.
All right. There's this thing. You know, I kind of stick up for long hair people. Rob sticks up for people who wear hockey jerseys, and Steve Smith sticks up for people that's taller than him. I mean, that's just
that's just how that works.
You'll
notice no take on the take. You'll notice it's just Steve Smith's short too, because the take.
Steve Smith's also a bully.
Yeah.
He's a big time bully.
Yes, he is.
I will say this. I phased out at a certain point.
Because you were like, oh crap, Steve Smith's saying everything Rob Brown's been saying for a year.
Because
maybe Rob knows ball.
Because what someone else thinks like that doesn't change the fact that Bryce Young's still short. And here's the other thing. I have said Bryce Young has improved, but when the game matters, at the end, he gets happy feet, and you're going to go back, Xavier, look good. Xavier, look good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. And yes, you do sound like that.
All he did was hit in between the one and the seven.
A certain way, you absolutely sound that way, because I got really emotional. That's about as emotional as I'll get. He is improving, and I am so glad that he's improving, because I am, out of the two people in this room, I'm actually a Panther fan, too. So I want them to do well. But everything around him needs to improve, and I still don't know that he's the guy going forward. I don't. It would not shock me if they don't draft a quarterback. I don't know who's going to be left if they. But they're not going to win. He's been. What good does playing well do if you don't win?
On the road at Philadelphia,
Justin Fields played well. He did. He won some games. They got rid of him anyway. Why? Because he didn't win enough. And Bryce Young is not winning enough.
Again, I swear, I feel like I know what the next, I'm going to have a flag made. I'm going to hang it right under the TV that says wins are not a quarterback stat, because I feel like We have to say that every damn day on the show.
Because your body's like right across that.
No, it's going to go. It's going to go.
No,
right.
That's not where you pointed.
It's going to go right here.
You pointed under the TV.
I'm doing it today. I'm making another flag that says wins are not a quarterback stat.
It would fit right there. If you go spend your money on that, you go right ahead. What color are you going to make it?
Wins are not right now. Silver and blue, and I'm going to put a big fat 9 on the side of it because wins are not a quarterback stat.
I dare you to do that.
Here's what I'm going to say. What I'm going to say is. Steve Smith's right. Now, he's right like 4 months after Rob Brown had the same take.
Trey wants to know what it would take for Lonzo to wear a Bryce Young jersey.
Probably about 22 years of treadmill jogging.
Yeah, but that's close to more than that. I have to lose a lot of weight, dude. A lot.
I think that when we talk about this whole wins and losses aren't a quarterback stat, if you are pinning that game on Bryce Young in any way, shape, or form, I have to take it as meaning one of two things. Either number one, you didn't watch the game, or number two, there's only two options.
You tell us that all the time. According to you, there's only a couple people actually know ball, and you would be one of them, and I'm not. I've said many times I've got a GED. You know, I barely passed that, so I don't know a lot of football.
Let me ask you this question. Sincere. Jokes aside, if XL catches that ball, everything else about that game is the same. But he catches that ball, he rolls in, he scores, the Carolina Panthers win. What's your reaction to that? Now Bryce Young did enough?
No, I'm excited that the team won. And here's the thing. I watched the entire game. Don't accuse me of not watching the game. I watched the entire game, replayed some of the plays over again, and I said, he played really good three quarters. In the fourth quarter, I thought he got happy feet again. And yes, Leggett did drop the ball, but he has a reason because Bryce Young nearly got him killed by throwing the ball in a way where he caught and hung on to the ball, but he got destroyed and he didn't recover from that hit. I believe he actually went into the blue tent for a while, and he was not the same guy for the rest of that game. And that was Bryce Young's fault. He could have threw the ball a little bit better, and maybe Xavier doesn't take that kind of hit. I loved him for three quarters. In the fourth quarter, I thought he went back to some of the same old things of happy feet. But he is starting to get it. He is starting to understand it. And I look forward to them playing better the rest of the year. But I don't know if they win another game, especially if they lose to Dallas. If they lose to Dallas, they're not winning another game the rest of the year.
Bryce Young, as far as I'm concerned.
Did you see the look on his face? You're just horrible. Why can't you see what I see? I'm giving you my take as a fan of the team.
I'm saying about you. It's not about you. What I am saying about Bryce Young is that man... still under pressure in this game. That man was escaping sacks. He had hands on him constantly and got out of them and then deliver good football. There was one rolling out to the left where he was dead to rights in the end zone. I don't know how he got away from the defensive end, but he did. And then delivered an absolute strike down the sideline on the run away from pressure. Just about everything that you would want a second-year quarterback who's still... to Steve Smith's my point, you are still not a fully built football team. You're not. Xavier Leggett is a dude. I'm not arguing. Xavier Leggett's a dude. But there's still a lot of improvement I need to see out of him. You are still rolling with your absolute guy is a 30, however old Adam Thielen is, slot receiver. That's your number one guy. Now, I do want to give credit to Dan Morgan and Dave Canales. Because they went and they got Deontay Johnson out of Pittsburgh. Well, turns out he's a head case. Now, you know, can you ding them up for not knowing he's a head case and making a bad decision? I mean, I guess so. But there weren't a lot of top flight wide receivers available to this team. So they went and they got the best one that was out there, at least athletically, in Deontay Johnson. It turns out he's a head case. They send him up to Baltimore. He refused to go in the game last week because he wasn't getting his. So he said, bleep that, I'm not going in. And they have fined him and suspended him. They tried, and I got to give him credit for trying. Unfortunately, trying in the offseason doesn't really get you anything on the field if it goes sideways. So
Bryce Young's worst game stat-wise in about a month, 191 yards, one touchdown, one interception, quarterback rating of 69.6. Now, you can blame some of that on drop passes for sure. But that is not, I mean, stats-wise, and you're a stats guy, that's not really statistically that great of a game.
I'm going to go find out.
Unless you ran for like 340 yards.
I'm going to go find out. And I'm going to go, I am going to go look at the All-22 cam today. I would bet you on passes that I will even let you tell me if it's fair to count them or not. Like XL's catch that would have been the game-winning touchdown. I'd be willing to bet you right now, today, Bryce Young's losing 30 to 40 yards a game in drop passes. That number should be closer to 230 with two or three touchdowns.
All right, so he might very well be, but the question on that though, are they good passes? Are they?
That's why I said I'll let you determine.
Are they too far in front? I mean, what are they? As far as an NFL receiver, the catch radius
was
is
the pass.
Pretty
was the pass
big.
To XL a good pass?
It was, but
it was.
he was beat up.
That's 30 some odd yards
but
right
keep,
there.
You keep talking about one pass, but he only threw for 191 yards, which means.
If you can't catch the ball, take your ass off the field, right? Like, if you came in here one day, and I need you to be the best version of Lonzo, and you cracked the mic, and you were like, my voice is shot! I'd be like, ah, you don't need to be here right now, pal. I don't know why you'd sound like that. I don't know what condition that is.
You mean like you after two AC/DC songs?
Yeah! Okay. Correct. Yet. I still show up. I'm hard-headed. What do you want? All right. 30 to 40 yards a game. That's my guess. That's what BY's losing on the stat pad with drops. You know who doesn't drop the ball? Lonzo at the top of every hour with the Sports Flash.
Oh, now I'm okay. My takes are horrible, but I can read Sports Flash.
Yeah,
well,
all
right.
I don't have to do it.
Not really. Yeah, this thing was made for me. Six-time Super Bowl winning coach Bill Belichick has returned to coaching after signing a 5-year deal with the University of North Carolina. The 72-year-old has been out of coaching since leaving the New England Patriots after the 2023 season, and age matters, according to Rob Brown. UNC hasn't won an ACC title since 1980. Houston Rockets eliminated the Golden State Warriors. It's a work. And progressed to the semifinals with a 91-90 win last night. To that meaningless thing. I mean, I don't even remember what it's called. It's a midseason. Yeah, the Lakers won it last year. Who cares? You know what you should care about? Tune in to Saturday, 11:30, as Furman Paladins take on the South Carolina State Bulldogs. It's Furman versus South Carolina State right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.